As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show mean showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. And be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Moon Day, August the 16th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com and engage in our chat room discussion there. Or you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access. Or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. And that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. All of our contact information can be found at our website, becomevocallocal.com, or at the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. A big shout-out, as we love to do each and every morning, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM Lompoc, California, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our calling number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Gold is building strong support above $1,200 as the USDX and the equity stocks decline. We'll talk about that in the news. If no news is good news, of course, we have good news today. There's not much news on the browser. We're going to go into common law readings, talk about the National Ocean Council from the standpoint of international law. Hugo Grotius, a little bit more on Agenda 21, of course, throughout the broadcast. We'll be glad to take your calls. Let's go into that market report for this morning. Active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading up $11 at $1,226.40. Now back on the cheerful side of 1220, like that. But at any rate, continuing along in the good news, this morning, silver up 29 cents, trades at $18.43. Can we go past 1850 today? I hope so. Let's head back towards that $19 mark and then on to $20, $30, $40, and $50 where it belongs. Platinum up 11 bucks as well at $1,532. And palladium rounding out the good news in the precious metals market, up 3 bucks at $479 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, you got to like it. The low, $1,216.70 for a low, $1,228.60 for a high. And at $1,226.40, your gold is up year-to-year $271.20 for a 28.40% return on your investment. The boys in London didn't like to do it, but they set the price at $1,222. $1,222, and it's going above that this morning. Can't hold gold down today. The SPDR gold shares holds 1,286.70 metric tons in their treasure chest, valued on State Street at $50.22 billion. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com. Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, August the 16th, 2010, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com. Let's go back in and close out our market report for this morning. Again, we find gold trading up $11 at $1,226.40 an ounce. Silver up 29 cents at $18.43 an ounce. Platinum up 11 bucks at $1,532 and palladium up 3 at $479 an ounce. The London gold fix, the boys in London, the London Bullion Market Association set the price at $1,222. Say it like it's written, Willie. It's easier that way. The SPDR gold shares at 1,286.70 metric tons. Lots of 12s today, lots of 2s in here. Valued on the street at $50.22 billion remains unchanged over the weekend. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed down 17 at 10,303. NASDAQ closed off 17 as well at 2173. And the S&P 500 off 4, closing at 1,079 on Friday. Crude oil this morning up 44 cents a barrel. At $75.83 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning, the ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website there, the ICE, the USDX off 45 basis points at 82.47 on their charts. My chart here, our little North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement of North America, our little basket of currencies in the Forex, the Canadian loonie, up 4 basis points, trades at 96 cents against the U.S. dollar. The Mexican peso up 28 exchanging at 8 cents U.S. You can fill up your pockets with pesos at 8 cents a pop, as we love to say. The euro up 79 basis points, yet still trading lower at $1.29, losing ground over the last 2 weeks. British pound this morning up 39 basis points at $1.57. British pound's at $1.57. And the Swiss franc, you know, we read the story weeks and weeks, months ago now, actually, where the Swiss central bankers were doing everything they could do to stamp down the value of the franc as compared to the rest of the foreign exchange. But it's back up at parity with the Canadian loonie this morning, moving up 129 basis points. Exchanges against the U.S. dollar at 96 cents U.S. The bond market this morning, the two-year, is yielding 0.50%. The 10-year is at 262. The 30-year bonds, this is your U.S. Treasuries now, and this is what we're told that Ma and Pa America are buying because they can't find an investment anyplace else. We're also supposed to believe that all the big corporations are flooding into the bonds. I don't think so. But nevertheless, the 30-year this morning, excuse me, yielding 3.78%. The mortgage markets, of course, tied as they are to these bonds. The 15-year mortgage moves down from 4.13%. Now, these are fixed-rate mortgages. Moves down from 4.13% a month ago to 3.95% today. Can you believe it, folks? A 15-year mortgage for 3.95%. They're giving houses away in America. 30-year mortgage moves down from 4.63% to 4.52%, and the prime rate stands at 3.25%, of course. Let's go into the market report a little bit deeper here off of the Kitco website and pick up this news by Jim Wyckoff. COMEX gold futures prices are trading higher and had a fresh six-week high on Monday, boosted by some weak Japanese economic data overnight and by a lower U.S. dollar index. Reports showed overnight showed that Japanese gross domestic product slowed dramatically in the latest reporting period, and when combined with recent weak economic data coming out of China and the U.S., the three largest economies in the world are still sputtering. Although China has sputtered right on past Japan, and this morning they're talking about China being the second largest economy on the planet. This has caused investors to become more risk-averse, which has in turn prompted safe haven buying interest in the gold market for the past few weeks. Continuing here, it says a weaker U.S. dollar index is also giving a boost to the gold market on Monday morning. However, the gold market has recently become more decoupled from an inverse trading relationship with the U.S. dollar. So what has been transpiring over the last, 2 years almost, this decoupling of the U.S. dollar, this author says it's becoming even more pronounced, and I can see that as well. Last week, gold and the dollar index both posted gains as both are considered safe haven assets during times of heightened investor uncertainty. If the world's stock markets continue to show weakness in the near term, look for gold and the U.S. dollar index to continue to track higher. Well, there's a lot more to that story, but let's jump over here and take a look at Barry the Usurper dipping his toes in the Gulf. I don't know why this is even making news, but I guess he hasn't anything better to do than this. Let's see if I can find it. Where is it? Here it is. Obama swims in Gulf waters off of Florida. This is August the 15th, yesterday's news. Barry the Usurper and his family encouraged tourists to visit the Gulf Coast region with a weekend trip to Florida. You know, how much does that cost us anyway? That included a porpoise sighting. That's real presidential kind of caliber stuff, isn't it? And a swim in coastal waters as the administration tried to boost the area's economy in the aftermath of the BP-PLC oil spill. Continuing, the president, the first lady, and their youngest daughter, Sasha, spotted a porpoise in St. Andrews Bay during a boat ride yesterday in rainy weather. Pick the right weekend, Barry. And the commander-in-chief even took his turn at the helm of the converted 50-foot Navy launch. All right, so they gave Barry a chance to steer the boat. To signal the waters are safe for tourists, he and Sasha went for a swim August the 14th in the bay which leads into the Gulf. Of course, they didn't go out into the Gulf. They stayed in the bay, you know, probably in an enclosed area. Yet, British Petroleum and the government officials face another setback in their efforts to plug the gusher, blah, 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 blah. Full recovery. After meeting August the 14th with local officials and small business owners in Panama City, that's a nice place, folks. You ever been to Panama City, Florida? It's nice. Panama City. Home of the, at one time back in the 80s, it was the home of the largest JC's club in America, probably the world. I went down there as the president of the Seattle Junior Chamber of Commerce and visited with the president and the board of directors of the Panama City JC's to find out what their magic was. I found out. But anyway, let's go on with it here. Well, let's see. The usurper promised Gulf Coast residents that even though oil has stopped flowing, he'd make sure the region is fully recovered. He's going to make sure that the region is fully recovered, quote unquote. Quote, the well is capped. Oil is no longer flowing into the Gulf, the usurper said. Quote, it's not been flowing for a month, and I'm here to tell you that our job is not finished and we're not going anywhere until it is. They all put him on the bus and sent him back to Washington, the District of Creeps. Encouraging Americans to visit the area, the president also said the beaches all along the Gulf Coast are clean, safe, and open for business. He pledged to make sure the region's seafood was safe to eat, and he promised to expedite the claims process. Yeah, he promises. He claims. He speaks. He walks. He swims. What a puke.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So if swimming in the ocean doesn't do enough for the people of the United States of America, Obama says private accounts would endanger the U.S. Social Security benefits. This on Bloomberg, written by Kate Anderson Brower on the 14th. This would be what, Friday's news? Bury the usurper. Saturday's news, bury the usurper, said Republican proposals to have people invest in Social Security benefits in private accounts would increase the U.S. budget deficit and put retirement money at risk, quote, to the whims of Wall Street traders, close quote. What's he at a special meeting there with the Pope or something? In his weekly address on the radio and the Internet, I'm sure a lot of people listen to that, the usurper marked the 75th anniversary of his favorite president, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Roosevelt, signing of the Social Security Act, and said he would fight if the Republicans tried to convert the entitlement program to private investment accounts. He'd fight. You know, he's going to look for somebody's ass to kick, remember? It, quote, here's the quote, I'd have thought, after being reminded how quickly the stock market can tumble, after seeing the wealth people worked a lifetime to earn wiped out in a matter of days, that no one would want to place bets with Social Security on Wall Street, that everyone would understand why we need to be prudent about investing the retirement money of tens of millions of Americans, he said. That's right. That's what he said. I'd have thought, after being reminded how quickly the stock market can tumble, after seeing the wealth people worked for a lifetime to earn wiped out in a matter of days, that no one would want to place bets with Social Security on Wall Street. That's what the president said. The usurper said Republican lawmakers want to make Social Security, quote, a key part of their legislative agenda, close quote, if they gain a majority in Congress after November's elections, quote, I'll fight with everything I've got to stop those who would gamble your Social Security on Wall Street, close quote, the usurper said, quote, because you shouldn't be worried that a sudden downturn in the stock market will put all you've worked so hard for, all you've earned, at risk. Close quote. Are there any mighty men of valor in Washington, D.C. this morning? Social Security politics. Democrats have seized on Social Security's anniversary to criticize Republican candidates calling for changes to the system. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee said 13 Republican Senate candidates have supported some kind of plan to put Social Security benefits in retirement accounts, including Sharon Angle of Nevada and Marco Rubio of Florida. I can't tell you folks how many years I've been listening to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security as being the primary talking points of re-election strategies and strategists. House Republican leader John Boehner said yesterday that Obama and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, quote, refuse to even acknowledge the challenges Social Security faces. Quote, it's time to have an adult discussion about the future of this crucial program, Boehner, or Bonner, as some call him, said in a statement. About time for an adult discussion. Maybe it's time for a trip behind the woodshed. That's how Anthony likes to say. Americans who are at least 62 years old are eligible to receive Social Security retirement benefits, according to Bloomberg data. We're entitled. It's an entitlement. Benefits. You know, benefits. This is how you get plugged into the system. In the Republican address, Pennsylvania State Senate candidate Pat Toomey, a former U.S. representative, said, quote, an extreme ideologically driven agenda is preventing the strong economic recovery and job creation that we should be having. Extreme ideological driven agenda. Mm-hmm. He cited measures to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, to overhaul the health care system, to prop up the U.S. That's to sustain, by the way, to prop up the U.S. auto industry, along with the so-called stimulus bill, as examples of reckless spending by Democrats. Of course, the Republican Party were no less reckless in the years of Jorge Bush and predecessors. Quote, we were told that this monster spending bill would create jobs and keep unemployment below 8%, Toomey said. Well, Toomey, when are you going to start reading the bills to find out the facts for yourself? Quit relying on what they tell you on the floor and start reading it. Get the black and the white in your eyes. Here's another quote. Well, since then, we've lost nearly 3 million more jobs and the unemployment rate hit 10%. Apparently, Toomey's still stuck on stupid, thinks government can create jobs and recover the economy. Not going to happen, Bubba. We got plenty of jobs, but it's always at a tax loss. Toomey, a former president of the Club for Growth, an anti-tax-based group in Washington, called for keeping, quote, hundreds of billions of dollars from stimulus programs that haven't yet been spent. That's a good plan. Toomey said tax cuts scheduled to expire at the end of the year should be renewed and capital gains taxes should be reduced to encourage economic growth. The usurper has proposed extending tax rate reductions enacted under President Jorge Bush only for those who earn less than $200,000 per individual or $250,000 per couple. Well, there's more to that. Going to be a rather heated period of time for the election cycle, but let's go over here and close out on this one. If everybody remembers Ted Stevens' air crash there, here's a little bit of an article from Angela Grayling Keene. That's a nice name. Angela Grayling Keene. The plane that crashed in Alaska, killing former U.S. Senator Ted Stevens, was flying normally before it plowed into a mountain. A survivor of the August 9th accident told U.S. transportation safety investigators. The survivor, who was interviewed yesterday in Anchorage by the National Transportation Safety Board, quote, said they were flying along and then they just stopped flying, close quote. Board Chairman Deborah Herzman said yesterday on a conference call, with reporters. The survivor, who she didn't name, said, quote, there was no change in the pitch or the engine noise before the crash, which killed five people. And before we go any further with this article, let's jump over and go live here and bring up Jeff, our roving reporter in Massachusetts. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How's it going? Well, you know, what a morning it's been. You know, I'm on break at my workplace, and you know what? I was thinking about this. This is a simple Occam razor concept, and it's this. Why do we do what we do? Whether it's me calling into a talk show, whether it's people being a talk show host, or whether it's people joining a tea party, or people joining the Republican Party or the Constitution Party to get this country back. And I was meditating on this, and it's very, very simple. We don't want our country to be a third world armpit. It's just that simple. And we as patriotic Americans do not want to be plucked like a goose by various hands around the world and look like Daffy Duck without feathers on. And then I thought about another question. What happens when all the means of communication get completely cut off to where people aren't able to blog, to where people aren't able to talk anymore? To where free speech gets completely cut off. But I was thinking about that concept because, you see, I know for me personally that's my motivation for doing what I do because I don't want to lose what I have. I mean, I have a pretty good thing going here, and I don't want to see it lost and end up having to stand in a bread line for food. I mean,
well, certainly, Jeff, you know, and I can agree largely with what you're saying. We're coming right up on a break, however. So why don't you just hang on? We'll bring it back with that thought after these words from our sponsors.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so I can only agree with Jeff calling in from Chelsea, Massachusetts this morning. Yes, we are walking on the, barefoot on the upturned edge of Occam's razor. We're looking at all of the simplicities. We're also concerned about things that we may lose in this upcoming struggle. But, Jeff, you know, you bring up really good points. Why don't you go ahead and, I know you're on a break, so go ahead and continue.
Yes. I'll put it this way here. One day, our free speech will not be free, nor will it be cheap. And my question to you, the audience, even myself, is when free speech is no longer free or it's no longer cheap, when there's a severe price to pay for it, will we be willing to do it when the format is completely stripped away to where the internet gets taken down, to where people won't be able to blog anymore, speak on the radio, or write articles in the newspaper, or even talk to their friends and neighbors about what's going on?
Well, I don't know, Jeff, whether I should have T-shirts made or flags made or what, but if people can understand the simplicity, the Occam's simplicity in what I'm trying to present to the audience,
good.
And if we can get seriously busy about forming groups as close to our homes as our own local voting precincts, even if the other forms of communication are brought down, we'll still have established a relationship with those that live nearest to us. And we'll be able to communicate like that. It's either committees of communication or committees of safety. whether they're local voting precinct groups, you know, with a precinct captain, or whether this is just your local platoon. I don't care how you style it, folks, but if you're standing in the gap by yourself, things are going to get rather hairy, because people like myself and others that we know, Jeff, and yourself included in this, those of us that have been speaking out for years and years and years, you know, our opportunity to exercise any remaining semblance of freedom of speech may be in the offing for those things that are taken away yet still.
Exactly. And to put a wrap to it, the door is closing very fast, and free speech will not be free, nor will it be cheap. And I think I get philosophical today instead of being my usual shock jock self, because these are deep thoughts to really think of. And Occam's razor means the simple solution is the best solution. And I just opened up a vein and talked about my motivation for doing what I do. So take it for what it's worth. I thank you for having me on the broadcast. You have a good one.
Thanks very much for calling in. I really do appreciate your calls, Jeff. Always insightful. And yes, Occam's razor, you know, this is the idea of the simple solution being the best solution. I believe that I'm offering one of the easiest things for us to do at this time period. It also has the power to actually alter the course of political history. There are other things that we're going to talk about in this broadcast, other solutions, equally simplistic. And these are all things that are on my mind on a regular basis. I weigh it in the balance every morning. You know, is this morning my last broadcast? You know, we're not compensated for doing this. This is my gift to you. I spend uncountable numbers of hours every month, every week, every year doing homework and reading and researching ahead. You know, but I have that question on my heart every morning. Is this the last broadcast that I'm going to do? I don't know. I really don't. And at some particular point, I may feel as I've said all that I can say, and then it's just going to be up to someone else, you know, to pick up the banner and walk on from there. But we need to take action. Knowledge is power. We've talked about that many times in the past. But knowledge is only powerful when it's combined with action. It's not sufficient to know a thing. You must put into action the things that you know. So we can pack our minds full of all kinds and manners of good material, and we'll do that today too. But at some point in time, we have to take the next step and actually put our stuff, to our knowledge into action. But let's go back and finish out this. I hate to go back to a news article after starting there, because we can certainly just go ahead and pick up the rest of the broadcast. But let's just close out this article, because it has to do with this Ted Stevens that crashed, and there was lots of talk on the blogosphere. You know, is this another baggage assassination? I don't think so. I think this was an airline accident. Continuing here, the survivor, who was interviewed yesterday in Anchorage, said by the National Transportation Safety Board, said they were flying along and then they just stopped flying. And this is someone that lived through it and experienced it. You know, this aircraft flew into a mountain. And anybody that's ever flown in Alaska, my father was a bush pilot in Alaska, military pilot in Alaska. I've flown in small aircraft ever since I was so tiny I can't remember the age. I've flown in larger aircraft, too, with my father flying them. I understand this sort of stuff, and I remember hearing all the various discussions. But flying in Alaska is like flying nowhere else. When my father introduced the first Boeing, I think it was a 727, to Arctic service, he was setting a record there, putting jet aircraft down on icy runways, gravel runways and things like that. This is all new material. But continuing, the ground scar is pretty straight in one direction, she said, saying investigators have not named a cause for the crash. Quote, there's still a lot of analysis to do. The safety board previously investigated accidents involving the pilot of the flight that carried Stevens and the owner of the plane. So apparently he's had more than one accident for all the years that my father flew, both for the United States Air Force and for Wien and for Interior Airlines in Alaska. He never had any accident at all, but some pilots are, you know, not so lucky or fortunate or skillful. Anyway, continuing, well, the accident involved pilot Theron Terry Smith in 1997 when he failed to maintain directional control while landing a plane with Tundra tires in Alaska. Understand that, Tundra tires in Alaska. when you're landing on anything other than a concrete landing strip, you've got all kinds of other forces at work. And he wasn't able to keep his aircraft in a maintained directional control. In other words, when he was landing, he was not landing in a straight line. Smith, a former commercial pilot for the Alaska Air Group, Inc., that's a company I don't know. I think it would be Alaska Airlines originally. I may be mistaken. Died in the August 9th crash. The board also investigated a 2002 accident that killed the pilot of a GCI-owned plane in the same region, finding the cause was failure of the pilot to retract the float plane's wheels before landing on water. You know, you look at all of the various and sundries flying a lot in Alaska. Again, it's not like flying elsewhere. Sometimes you land on water, sometimes you land on ice, sometimes you land on gravel, and sometimes you're fortunate enough to land on either tarmac, asphalt, or concrete. The second survivor, who was interviewed yesterday, said he recalls a safety briefing from Smith and that he was wearing his seatbelt. Hirschman said the unidentified passenger said he fell asleep in the front seat of the plane once in flight and only woke up after the crash. And so, fortunately, he was one that was able to wake up after the crash. Last article in the news this morning, back-to-school standoff risks profit margins as consumers wait. Okay, so we've been hearing in the financial calendar that they've been looking forward with greedy, little greasy matzo ball hands, waiting for the waiting for the school's back to school shopping spree to kick off. Well, this is the article, Alex Sherman and Allison Schwartz writing for Bloomberg. The back to school shopping season is off to a slow start as retailers and consumers wait to see who will blink first. Now, I can tell you that our economic system, this consumer economy that we live in, is highly dependent on things like the holidays, the merchant's man holy days, and these kinds of things, the back-to-school season being one of the principles. I mean, they've got it down to a science now where they even provide all of the students with lists of things that they're supposed to go off to Wally World and buy, 16 rolls of toilet paper, three boxes of handy wipes, 7.5 boxes of Kleenex, six trapper keepers, three backpacks, it sounds like the 12 days of Christmas. And the parents aren't supposed to pay up for that. And any parent that has extra money they anticipate that they'll stuff the bus, okay? You take extra supplies and you put it in a box someplace at the bank or some other location, in a chamber of commerce, for those young people whose parents, cannot afford to buy all of these expensive things the school districts, force them to buy before they're allowed to come into school. But, of course, the school districts will tell you, well, the students can come with or without the supplies. Don't believe it for a minute. Here we go. Continuing from the article, Americans are looking for more discounts, and retailers are trying to hold out in an effort to protect profit margins, said Craig Johnson, the president of New Canaan. New Canaan, Canaanites, I guess. New Canaan, Connecticut, interesting place. Based consulting firm Customer Growth Partners, the department stores Jacques Panay and Kohl's Group lowered their profits forecast for the week. No one buys on the first markdown, said Johnson. Only chumps pay full price. Only chumps pay full price. Are you a chump? You pay full price. Only chumps pay full price. No one buys on the first markdown. We haven't seen the desperation fire sales yet. Well, that's America, and you're welcome to it. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at powerofthepursemovie.com. Again, that's powerofthepursemovie.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com. Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned sliding into the last segment of the first hour of today's two-hour broadcast. A very big day on another network over the weekend. I generally don't plug the other networks, but because I was a broadcast host on Revolution Broadcasting for almost 7 months, and I really do like Raymond Powell. I think he's trying to do the best he can over there. He struggles. It's hard to develop an audience in this genre of radio. But they had a winner yesterday. They really did. Knocked it out of the park. Right on up over the fence, an all-day marathon. It was the, let's see if I can remember exactly what they styled it. It was the United We Strike Marathon, I think it was. United We Strike Marathon. Many of you have heard on Chris Kemp's broadcast and others' interviews, and Mike Chambers has interviewed Karen Quinn Tostada. Now, she and I have certain basic disagreements, and It revolves around her idea of sustainability and sustainable communities. Discussion about this guy, Ruiz, who, if you study him up a little bit, he seems to think that the Toltecs and the Toltec wisdom was pretty good, even though the Toltecs were a very bloody military aristocracy that were confined by the people in the area to an island, and then they escaped, and they made a habit out of cutting the living hearts out of people and sacrificing them on their truncated pyramid altars and all that. I certainly would champion that as a noble cause. But anyway, besides that, I think she's living in la-la land and pipe dream land. The idea that you can just simply have a general strike and that it's actually going to impact anything. I don't believe there's enough people in the world listening to these messages, even if we had fully 5% of the global population, that it would make a dent. You know, the idea of going and shopping at your mom and pop's. Mom and pop buy all their stuff from the same sources that Walmart buy their stuff, with very few exceptions. And so those kind of answers just don't really come out to a solution for me. But I can understand the idea, the basic kernel of don't buy, don't comply, and ask why. And I think those are very valuable points. It's just that the rest of the fill-in material just seems to lose the swell idea of that. You know, when we don't buy, we're doing, I believe, the right thing by voting with our pocketbooks, voting with our checkbooks, our bank accounts, our monetary equipment. If you're not complying, voluntary compliance being necessary for the system to flow and to function, and if you're not complying, then you're making it exceedingly difficult for the beast system to grind forward, the juggernaut that it is. If you don't comply with the census, if you don't comply with this, you don't comply with that, that's a good thing, in my opinion. That's successful. That's good stuff. It works. And then asking why. That's really the whole idea behind becoming Vocal Local. First, we do our research, and then we go out. And rather than keeping our information to ourselves, we ask why. Go to the town council meetings. Go to your city council meeting. Go to your school board meetings and bring up the you know, as they say, speak truth to power and ask why they're going down and following these various and sundry failed models. And then seek to replace those people as soon as possible with someone of your choosing, not the party's choosing, but your choosing, locally. And we've gone all into that, you know, with our study from John Stuart Mill and representative government. But they had a great day yesterday, and I would encourage you, if you have the chance to do so, and if their archives are available, I'm not certain whether they are or not, but if they are, go back and take a look. Yesterday they had... let's see if I can just give you some. Brian Garish, Common Purpose, brought out of the United Kingdom. Sheriff Richard Mack. Let's see who else. They had Larry Beecraft on. You can go either way with Larry Beecraft. Joe Bannister was on. They had Charles Irwin up there. These were usually like 30-minute interviews, very tight, very concise, forcing the speakers to really bring out their most salient points. A very interesting discussion was had by Adrian Salbucci from Argentina. You know, so much of what we're experiencing here in the United States has been happened several times already to the Argentinas, and so they can see it. They can see it for the scam that it is, and so he has lots to offer. Took many couple of pages of notes from him. Mike Rivera was on with his wife, Claire. They had some interesting stuff, basically centered around the importance and the need for homeschooling our young ones. And that's very important. Of course, Rick Adams was on. Didn't have much to say, kind of mumbles along, but that's, you know, that's Rick. Jack McLam was on. Jordan Page, music was played. Let's see, some of the other, okay, Max Egan. Came on with Freeman, Max Egan, I guess it is, crowhouse.com. I think we've all heard him interviewed on Freeman's broadcast. Charlie Veach was on, I believe, as well. Let's see what else we got here. Just running down through it. Luke Kurdowski came on. We Are Change. Had a caller call in and run him up the flagpole once and then back down again for the involvement with the Masonic Order and some questions about the handling of finances, but he was able to prevail in that discussion and came out all right. Ellen Brown was on. Let's see. But most importantly, those are all very good broadcast content in each of those. But the one that I have really enjoyed the most hearing, and I'd like to maybe even get him on the network here, to come and speak to us and become Vocal Local, although we have a terrible time differential between Fairbanks, Alaska, and here. But a man named Schaefer Cox came on and shared his process again. And basically what they've created there in Fairbanks, Alaska, is not a second government, but really a first government. There's something new happening. And just without throwing up, you know, big endorsements here, I've listened to him speak twice now, two different interviews, and apparently there's a YouTube video out there. It's called The Solution that I haven't seen yet. You might check and see if you can find it. But basically, what he's done, he and his wife and many others in Fairbanks, Alaska, have done is they've created a common law court and a militia. All right, and it's not a small militia. he says that they have 3,500 people in their militia. Now, when I was living in Fairbanks, Alaska, it was including the military base, which was previously Ladd Air Force Base, and then it became Fort Wainwright, an Army post. There was about 27,000 people in the area, and that would include College, Alaska, as well. Now, I'm sure it's increased much over the years. But 3,500 people in the second most populous town in Alaska is no small shakes. If they've got 3,500 guys involved, even loosely, in something as an organized militia, that's a force to be reckoned with. And so he wields a fairly good stick up there. And what they're also trying to do, and what they, I guess they have done, is they've created a common law court. All right? So not everybody goes to the common law court, but you would have the opportunity of appealing to the common law court if you desired to do so. And so he presented quite a bit involved with that, self-governing and self-defending. And instead of begging on our knees, we bargain on our feet when we're working from a position of strength. And I think some of the many things that he had to say are valuable, especially if we can use it in the context of becoming vocal local and establishing your local voting precincts in all of the 3,066 counties across America, in all of the 177,000-plus local voting precincts. We would be able to develop a parallel government, perhaps, if we're not going to get involved. And I can see that there's a lot of reluctance for people to get involved inside the established two-party political system to bring them down, if nothing else. And in the meantime, go ahead and get your local voting precinct group started, and then maybe look at some of the things that Mr. Schaefer or Schaefer Cox is bringing forward as things that you might be able to do right where you are. Talks about a common law court versus political law, and we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But common law courts versus the political law is that in common law, laws are held in common by all mankind, but under political law, it's all statutory law, and it's man trying to be God. And we've talked about that before, the little G-God man. And we're going to go into that a bit more in a moment, because I'm going to turn into Hoagland's book on common law, and we're going to look at that. But in a common law courts, as they've styled it, and they've got these two little pillars. I don't like the idea of two little, you know, marble pillars. It sounds a little bit like a Mason's lodge to me. But they've got these two little pillars, and on one, it says, do all that you have agreed to do, and that's contract law. And on the other, it says, don't encroach on other people, and that's criminal law. We'll be right back after the top of the hour break. Stay with us. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month.
Remember, that website is teamspeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. Teamspeak.cc. The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, August the 16th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Now, in the first hour, covered some news. And then we started in with a little bit in regards to the big tax strike, United We Strike Marathon Radio event held over the weekend on Sunday, the 15th, on Revolution Broadcasting, where Schaefer Cox was one of the last speakers. He was the last presenter in the long list of people from, oh my, I started listening about noon, ran all the way up till 10, 11 o'clock at night. But he has had some accomplishments. He has had some successes. And he's actually taking the knowledge that he has, and he's applying it locally, acting upon the things he knows, which is a real bonus, in my opinion. But he looked at things, common law. They've set up a common law court up there, and I'll give you the two principles again, fundamental basic principles. Number one is do all you have agreed to do. In other words, a man's word is his bond. You're only as strong as your word is strong, and if you say you're going to do something, do it. Do all that you have agreed to do. That's the basic common law principle of contract law. You enter an agreement to do something with somebody, you shouldn't have to have an attorney to force you to do it or to bail your sorry butt out for breaking your promises. And we wouldn't have nearly as many divorces and nearly as many abortions in this country if people would just do all that we agreed to do. We all know the consequences when we pull our bloomers down and so on and so forth. When you say, I do, you do. To death do you part. Otherwise, don't say it, right? Anyway, don't encroach on other people. That's criminal law. Remember, the idea is on my rights end where the rights of another begins. Don't encroach on other people. That's the basis of criminal law. And so in their common law courts, it all revolves around these two primary issues. You're either coming in under contract or you're coming in under criminal law. And he talks about, you know, the statutory courts are just an absolute joke. And boy, they are a joke. Unfortunately, the joke's on us, you know. He talks about the de jure state, if you could say so, or the de jure republic, and the de facto corporation. You know, it's the difference between the state and this state. Interesting stuff. As far as the organization of the courts, you know, you would have a panel of juries or a jury of your peers. And then you, instead of having a judge, you have a jurist, someone that's knowledgeable, known to be knowledgeable of the laws. Okay? So you set up the court entirely different. Instead of having your judge, your black robe, you know, puke up on the dais there, the little G-God man, and everybody makes their pleadings before the judge, instead, you have the jury seated, you know, prominently. And that the claimant, the defendant, and the plaintiff come in and are seated before the jury. So you're actually pleading your cause before a jury of your peers. And then the way they have it set up, and I think it's a wise idea, they have a jurist, this person knowledgeable of the law, set to one side. This would be like a parliamentarian, for instance, in a deliberative assembly. The parliamentarian understands the rules of order. He understands Robert's rules of order. And he sits off to one side. And when the jury makes an appeal to law, questions of law, they would appeal to the jurist, and the jurist would give them his knowledge, the benefit of his knowledge, from his study of the law. All right? Whole different story, a completely different motif for courts. And then, of course, in this idea that they're advancing up there and actually doing in Alaska, then you also have that there must be an injured party. All right? So it's no more of all this specious claptrap legal beagle nonsense where there's nobody that's been injured and everybody's just, you know, off into this litigious world, the sue you, sue me blues. You actually, someone has to have actually been injured. and that injured party is there, and the idea is to restore the injured party, to make that injured party whole, restitution. It's the injured party that gets the restitution, not the court system. Novel, isn't it? Novel.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So, of course, everyone in this audience has read the Constitution probably numerous times as I have, the Declaration of Independence as well. Maybe you all have a copy of the Witten Publishers Citizens Rule Book with the Bill of Rights, the Jury Handbook, and so on. In it, well, here in Article 7, right out of the little Witten Publishers, this is the MIAC report. They're concerned. This makes me a terrorist because I've given away thousands of these, I guess. Anyway, Article 7, right here out of the Constitution, it says, in suits at common law. Are there any questions? In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Pretty well sets up common law of courts, doesn't it? Article 7, the Constitution, we ought to remember that. And yes, your calls are welcome at 866-841-1065. And we can deviate away from this topic if you'd like for a while. But I'm going to stay on this for the rest of the broadcast. All right? Because it's very important for us to understand what has happened to our legal system. Another one of the presenters during this broadcast all day yesterday brought out the difference between legal and lawful. That's a distinction that I've drawn myself, as many others as has as well. there's a vast difference between what is legal and what is lawful. You know, you've all heard me talk about legal positivism. There's a difference between something that is, something might be legal and be wholly unlawful in this Roman system that we have today. All right. But again, the very important distinction in here is that the injured party must be present, and that the idea is restitution to the injured party. We're going to restore the injured party, the whole idea of going to a court of law in the first place. We're going to make that injured party whole, if it is at all possible, which is the goal of common law. And the loser in these things pays the court costs. And what I thought was rather interesting is that they pay the court costs in silver. For a juror, they receive 2 ounces of silver per hour. And the jurist receives 1 ounce of silver per hour. And the recorder, let's say that would be the court reporter, for instance, would receive 1 ounce of silver per hour. And so the idea is there, because the loser is going to have to pay the court costs, is to keep it down, you know, keep it down. But what was brought up, in the discussion was the concern that Schaefer Cox had and his group about deviating away and getting involved in criminal law, because the court systems don't like that. They might suffer a little bit of common law, especially as common law court voluntarily applied. It's like going to an arbitration court. They might suffer that, but they don't want anybody to get involved with their criminal process. And, of course, from my studies, not only the readings of Sir William Blackstone, but Sir Edward Coke, and just generally jurisprudence, the history of law, especially the history of law in England, and the inns of the court and things like that, the Temple Bar, all of that, and the court chancery, the chancery courts, they really did not like the idea. They really did not like the idea of having any competition. They don't like competition in their system. Hell with the consequences. Hell with justice. They don't like any competition in their system. All right? And so the courts compete. And this, you go all the way back to the Tangerman, you go all the way back into Germany early on. They don't like any competition in their system. All right? And so Schaefer and his fellows are wise enough to not strike the beast yet too strongly. And so they keep themselves to common law dispute, you know. And that's important. Well, there's a lot that we can learn. There's a lot that we can learn. And here, going back to and Larry Beecraft made a comment of this during the presentations yesterday, during his segment, that we really need to have more paralegals out there working. And so it's just fortuitous that dropping into my hands as serendipitously or synchronistically as it does, this book, Legal Research and Writing for Paralegals, I found it at the flea market the same day I found another set of Encyclopedia Britannica and brought it all home for $23. But anyway, and this book alone cost $25.50 back in 1994, from what it says in the inside here. But here's an interesting piece, all right, out of this book on case law and judicial opinions, right out of Legal Research and Writing for Paralegals, Little Brown and Company, Deborah Bouchot, on page 108, section 4, says federal cases. Listen carefully. Until 1880, when West, that's Thompson West, that's West Publishing, that's your Black's Law Dictionary, and so much more. Until 1880, that would be in the post-Avraham Springsteen time period, as we came under the rule, if you will, of Roman law. Until 1880, when West began publishing cases from the lower federal courts, there was no one comprehensive set of books that reported decisions from these courts. While several sets existed, none were adequate. Therefore, in 1880, West collected all of these lower federal court cases together and republished them in a set of books entitled Federal Cases. Federal Cases is a very unusual arrangement of cases, as it publishes these lower court cases that preceded the establishment of the national reporter system in alphabetical order rather than chronological order, as is the usual format. If you examine Federal Cases, that's a book now, you will note that each case is assigned a consecutive number, with the first case referred to as number 1, the Aelsund, and the last case referred to as number 18,222 in R.E. Zug, Z-U-G. due to the fact that it covers much older cases. Federal cases is typically available only at larger law libraries. Important for a researcher. It only covers the older cases. You might want to look at that one. You should compare, the author writes, you should compare the relatively small number of volumes, being 30, which cover the lower federal court cases from 1789 to 1879, 100 years there, almost, 1789 to 1879, 90 years, in federal cases, with the current total of over 1,800 volumes covering the cases from 1880 to present in the Federal Reporter and Federal Supplement, and thus demonstrating again the dramatic increase in litigation in this country. Right? So we were able to go along quite well from 1789 to 1879 and only generate 30 volumes of cases. But since then, it's mushroomed, gone over 1,800 volumes covering cases 1880 to present, which is an important, you know, important to note. Now, jumping over here into Arthur R. Hogue, I've shared with you this book before, Origins of the Common Law. This is a Liberty Fund publication. Arthur Reed Hogue, 1906 to 1986, born in Pittsburgh, was the son of a distinguished Presbyterian minister, Presbyterian, Walter Jenkins Hogue. He received his AB Magna Cum Laude from the Oberlin College in 1928. At Harvard, he studied under the medievalist Charles Homer Haskins and the historian of political thought Charles McIlwain. And I have Charles McIlwain's writings in my library as well. Receiving his Master of Arts in 1929, his Ph.D. in 1937, at Hanover College from 1935 until 1948, he rose from assistant professor to the professor of history, and it continues on, talks a little about him. But he knows quite a bit about the common law and history. I'm going to share a little bit of the courts of Anglevan, England, tonight, to 1307, when we come back from these words.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines.
tanks. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The Sunflow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cpanel.com.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And throughout the broadcast each and every day, the call-in number is 866-841-1065. Or if you happen to live in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air, as Doug in Oklahoma has done. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Absolutely fantastic.
Okay. I think this... correlates, you know, I think there's, you know, tangentially, I think it correlates to what you're speaking of insofar as just manipulation and whatnot. For the listeners, basically gold and silver, the ratio, would you accept the fact that it's 16 or 17 to 1, meaning it takes about, you know, 17 times the effort to get an ounce of gold out of the ground as opposed to silver?
No, really. That largely, that goes back to the Coinage Acts and setting that all up, and it's in the Constitution as well. These were ratios that existed at one time. Today, I can jump over here to Kitco, and we can look at the gold-to-silver ratio as we're going here, and I'll just keep coming along. Here we go. Let's see what the ratio is today.
That's amazing. I mean, because
the gold-to-silver ratio today... Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on a second, Doug. The gold to silver ratio this morning is 66.51 to 1. And yeah, you're right. You know, if you look at that ratio between $18 silver and $1,200 gold, you know, it's 66.51 to 1. The idea, I guess, is that if we can equate the value of the price of gold and the price of silver both being having to be extracted from the ground as a indicator of the amount of effort, labor, land labor, and capital necessary to extract it and bring it to market, we can clearly see the disparages here, that there's a considerable amount of market manipulation going on. Of course, we track that out of the London Bullion Market Association, out of COMEX. GATA has been all over this thing like glue. There's a lot of manipulation going on, and both of these would probably be trading far higher in silver, considerably higher, especially, Doug, if you think about it from the standpoint of scarcity. Silver is in much greater demand and far scarcer these days even than gold. So, you know, but to go back to like the 16 to 1 or 17 to 1 and use that as a ratio, no, I don't think so. I think time has changed substantially from the time that was originally set.
Okay. Even given whether it's 66 or 76, because I've got different numbers here in front of me after just crunching them, but why do you think there is the manipulation to keep silver artificially low?
Well, number one, in my researched opinion, and I'm not an expert at all this stuff. I just read this material. I'm not a broker. But in my opinion, based as it is on Robert Chapman and Robbie Noel and so many other people that follow and track it as well on a daily basis, largely it's because the money masters would just assume that we, the people, globally, don't look at gold and silver as money, as it has always had for thousands of years. They wanted us to think of it as kind of an obtuse, speculative commodity that only an idiot would get into, because when you buy gold or silver, why, you know, it doesn't pay you dividends annually and stuff like that. So largely, I think they manipulate it in the first place, silver, because they need to use silver, you know, for silver solder and all these high-tech things that are being developed. They need to use silver, and they need to use a lot of it. And so the corporations, you know, Nokia and many of the others, Samsung, so many of the others, Sony, they would just as soon to be able to continue to steal silver as long as they possibly can. It keeps their cell phones cheap. It keeps all the products cheap. It keeps the demand for recycling way down at the very bottom of the pile. And so it's good for the corporations to keep silver real cheap. And pretty much the same goes with gold. Go ahead.
I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. You know, I just wanted to drop that in because I think it does correlate to what you were speaking of, just insofar as manipulation and whatnot. But
yeah.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, the whole marketplace, Doug, and the reason why I bring this stuff out every day is to try and draw that distinction out for the audience. I would prefer if our audience wasn't reliant upon other people, that they would go to these simple sources and track this for themselves and get a habit of it, simply because there are a lot of people out there that have been fleecing the sheeple, and I find that repugnant. But at the same time, these markets are rigged from stem to stern, and I don't care whether you're in gold and silver, whether you're in the Dow, whether you're in the NASDAQ, the S&P, whether you're buying energies, whether you're buying Forex. This whole place, it's a con game, and we need to be aware of that. So it's like it's worse than a buyer beware. You know, you got to go someplace to get out of the Federal Reserve note. But there's mighty few places you can go, Doug.
Well, I agree, and I thank you for taking my call, and I'll let you get back to it. But thanks, Will, and keep on rocking, man.
Thank you so much for calling in, and I always appreciate hearing from you. And listeners, you're welcome to call in, 866-841-1065. But back to this topic here, the idea about the common law. You know, it's just another, you know, the whole system is rigged, including our legal justice system. Do you want a lawful system or do you want a legal system? Are you sure? And we know the difference. Well, here this, again, Arthur Hoag ought to know better, but he says it this way in his book, The Origins of Common Law. This is a Liberty Fund publication. And let me see if I can get the date, 1986. Every legal system must be served by courts which interpret and enforce its substantive rules. Laws do not interpret themselves, and the very existence of a body of substantive rules implies the existence of courts for the administration of those rules, all right? Now, you could think about it from the standpoint of, okay, we've got a problem going here with your neighbor, and in the Bible it says, you know, you go and you talk to your neighbor, and if that doesn't do, then you come back with another guy, and then if that doesn't do, you come back with 4 and 8 or 10 or whatever is necessary. And then if all that still doesn't work and you decide that you're actually going to take it to a court or bring it before a jury of your peers, and that's a study in itself. The peerage is not what you think it is. But anyway, if you're going to bring some issue before a court, you're to negotiate all the way to the court with your neighbor, whoever the grief is, and try and resolve these matters privately before you get into a court. Why? Well, because there's going to be something happen there. Again, he says, laws do not interpret themselves, and the very existence of a body of substantive rules implies the existence of court for the administration of those rules. Even when the rules controlling a society are only vague customs, you know, I've said many times in the past that law rises up, a system of law rises up out of the customs, the tongue, the tribe, and the creed of the people. One of the reasons why cultural diversity is, you know, another one of these socialist utopian pipe dreams, that people have different customs, and they have different tongues, and they have different tribes, and they have different ways of looking at life. They view life differently, and their laws are differently. And that's something that we need to respect and understand. That's why we have the very important sovereignty of nations, national sovereignty. People live where they feel most comfortable. They live with people most like themselves. They adopt certain customs and traditions. Some people wear a burqa, and some people go naked and swim in the ocean. You know, different strokes for different folks. Well, there's the break. We'll pick it up with common law, the Angevin Courts of England in 1307, right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network. Visit us online at oraclebroadcasting.com.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the oraclebroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so again, we're taking a look at this book, this particular chapter 6, called The Courts of Angevin, England. We won't have time to go into it all today. Up to 1307, so we're right back down to about Magna Carta time. But anyway, it continues and it says, beyond interpreting existing formal rules, courts promote the growth of a legal system. And boy, have we seen them promote the growth of a legal system. By identifying in the course of legal controversy customs and rules of conduct which had not been previously expressed or recognized. And whether you're back in Coke on Littleton or whether you're reading William Blackstone, the commentaries on the laws of England, you can see how this thing is developed, right? People do things a certain way because of customs, and the common law was really intended to, you could use this word, from time out of mind. That's a very important phrase. Just note it down. From time out of mind. Well, when did we start doing this? No one knows. Real true common law has that kind of foundation. The stuff that they call common law today, stare decisis, where every time a judge changes his poopy pants, he changes his decision, you know. That sort of stuff is, this is all this juris civilis, Roman civil law. It's admiralty law. It's the lex mercatoria, the law merchant, all of which were contentiously opposed. You know, there was a lot of contention in England about bringing in juris civilis, Roman law, Roman civil law, the lex mercatoria and admiralty law in and on upon the people of England long ago. Continuing here, it says, in the course of legal controversy, customs and rules of conduct which had not been previously expressed or recognized. Thus, the judgments of the court are a source of law and contribute to the body of substantive rules. Important. Certainly, the courts of medieval England made significant contributions to the common law. An eminent modern historian, William S. Holdsworth, has called attention to the quote-unquote lawyer-made law. Lawyer-made law. We spoke of that briefly the other day. When Nancy Pelosi said, you won't know what's in the health care bill until you pass it, she was speaking truth there. Horrible to have to admit it, but it's the truth. Because you're not going to know what's in that law, what is in that legislation, until it's passed through the filter of an appellate court and somebody renders a decision, even at the level of the Supreme Court, because they will interpret the statute. And they will find law to be found in reports of decided cases, in the plea rolls, and in the books of authority. English courts of the 12th and 13th centuries guided procedure so that the plaintiff with a serious grievance received a hearing which culminated in a judgment settling the matter. All right? A judgment settling the matter. It goes back to what Schaefer Cox is trying to achieve here, where you've got to have a victim. And that the victim seeks restitution, makes pleading to the court. And unless and until the victim is made whole, you haven't found justice yet. And then we go on into the whole discussion of outcasting, ostracizing, and outlawing. There's a lot to that as well. We don't have time for that today. And continuing, it'll be helpful to state the basic elements in any civil action. All right, this is 1300s now. First, the aggrieved person must take the initiative. He must launch the process which will bring his opponent into a court. If Thomas has appropriated and begun to cultivate the land of Robert, then Robert must do more than grumble in order to recover the land. He must make a formal complaint to a court and assure the court he will prosecute his complaint vigorously to secure repossession. Right? You have to do what you say you're going to do. That's rule number one. In Schaefer Cox's common law system, do what you say you're going to do. Second, the court must act through appropriate officers such as sheriffs and bailiffs to bring Thomas, the defendant, before the court to answer the charges of Robert, the plaintiff. You see, they could circumvent all of this by following the biblical precept and resolve the situation over the disputed boundary line in the tillage on their own without resorting to a court. But if it has to go to a court rather than just grumble, he's going to have to follow a process. So second, the court must act through appropriate officers such as sheriff and bailiffs to bring Thomas, obviously with a warrant, the defendant before the court to answer the charges of Robert, the plaintiff. Next, either in the exchange of oral or written arguments or in pleadings, the plaintiff and the defendant must be encouraged to formulate precisely the issues between them. If the court acts properly, and these would be briefs, of course, if the court acts properly as the umpire of this stage, the pleadings which result in questions of fact or law, which can be determined or decided by trial, then follows the trial of these points, material to the case, if a jury is employed. It gives a verdict about the facts. Having secured the best light that can be thrown on the facts, you know, show me your facts. Show me the law. You know, bring forth your evidence. This is evidentiary hearings, not just argumentative hearings. The judge or judge applies his appropriate rules of law to the facts and reach a judgment deciding which of the litigants, Robert or Thomas, has the better right to the disputed land. Finally, there must be the execution or the enforcement of the court's judgment by an order from the court to an official such as the sheriff. The purpose of the verbal combative procedure so briefly outlined here is the settlement of a dispute which might explode in violence if it were not channeled through a court. The Anglo-Saxon dooms of the early 17th century reveal a clear intent to thwart acts of private vengeance and family feuds. Right? Vengeance is mine, says the lord of the court, the lord of the manor. Bring it to my court. Don't kill the man. Don't smite him. All right? At least not yet. Wait till we make him an outlaw, and then you can kill him on sight if you want to. To quiet the possibility, one might even say the right of private vengeance, the murderer owed to the family of the slain man a money payment determined by the slain man's social status. Wounding and injury must also be paid for. You see, you're not paying it to the court. You don't have the criminal justice system where the person that committed the offense goes off and works as a slave laborer endlessly. Now, this is all about there's got to be a victim, and then it's the restitution by the one that is guilty, found guilty by a jury of his peers, restitution made to the one that has been offended. Right? The law of medieval England was not much influenced by Christian doctrines of the duty of forgiveness and turning the other cheek. It assumed that a deliberate wrong would be resented, and in the Middle Ages at least, it held to a doctrine of strict liability for intentional or unintentional injury. It assumed that the desire for vengeance was natural and proper. All right, to keep and bear arms and not be infringed. Primarily, then, the money payment of the Anglo-Saxon dooms was expected to quench vengeance and prevent a long chain of killings, woundings, and injuries. A long chain of killings, woundings, and injuries. Wouldn't it be easier to just bring us your passport, show us your birth certificate, Barry, before we have a long chain of killings, woundings, and injuries? So much for the idea of legal research and writing for paralegals has to do with cases. And this idea of stare decisis, apparently, common law, greatly bastardized under the legal system as opposed to a lawful system. But under briefing cases, it goes along this way. And as you study, as I studied this, and I'm learning a lot from this book, I'll be sharing more of it with you from time to time. But let's just start right here under briefing cases. The importance of cases in our common law system. See, they keep trying to hold on to common law, but they're not lawful, they're legal. Big difference. But, again, this is the deliberate dumbing down of America. This is how textbooks wind their way into the subconscious mind of this unknowing student, the unsuspecting student. Right? The importance of cases in our common law system has already been discussed. You'll also recall that in our legal system, now which is it, our common law system or is it our legal system? They're throwing in both words now, the authors of confusion. You will also recall that in our legal system, it is not sufficient to merely read a statute, assuming that it will provide the answer to a question or a problem, because it is the task of our courts to interpret and construe statutory language. It is the purpose of our courts to read something simple. Thou shalt not kill, and construe what it means, you see. Thus, reading, interpreting, and analyzing cases are of critical importance to all involved in the legal profession, or all of us who are researching the legal manifestation and trying to find something lawful in it. A few people find it natural to read cases, and there's truth to that. Most would prefer to have someone else read it and then present it on the radio. But each of us can take the time necessary and utilize the Internet to its fullest capacity at Find Law and at cornell.edu, I think it is, or something like that. There's lots of places where you can get this material now. You're no longer dependent upon access to a big law library. Well, we'll pick it up right there, right after this.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio.
Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And blowing into the final segment of today's two-hour broadcast, looking at briefing cases, a little bit of background on what it is to be, or as the French say, qu'est-ce que c'est paralegal, what is it that it is to be a paralegal, and why do we need to be as paralegals ourselves as we study this stuff? Certainly, if we want to make any sense out of the legal system, we're going to have to do our own research, because we don't get a straight answer. It's not just NASA that never gives us a straight answer. We just simply don't get a straight answer. But we also make, you know, errors when we look at the statutes and presume that what we're reading in the statute is, in fact, the law. Because unless you track out all of the various and sundry decisions of courts, you still haven't found law. You haven't found it yet. You're just looking at the statute. And that's not the law. It's not the law until the judge says so. And when the judge says so, that becomes the law in this system. They call it stare decisis. Who can speak Latin? I can't. I just say it the way I read it. Kind of a phonetic fellow myself. But again, the most common technique, well, few people find it natural to read cases. All right? It's really important. The language used by courts is often archaic, and the style of writing can make it difficult to comprehend the court's reasoning. Many times in this broadcast, I've talked about the niche builders. Those who come across some specialized knowledge, some specialized training, some special skill, most frequently clamber up into the great sandstone wall of life, and they carve themselves out a little niche. Then they get inside of their little niche, and they wall themselves in with language and skills, and they hang a little shingle out, and they sell their services to all unsuspecting passersby in the legal system, the Inns of Court, the bar associations, the international bar associations. They're not any different. Niche builders, all right? And so they wall themselves in behind language and forms and procedures that are unusual to you and unusual to me, and we have to discern this stuff through much reading. But again, the language used by the courts is often archaic, and that's not an accident. And the style of writing can make it difficult to comprehend the court's reasoning. The most common technique used to impose some order, again, that's what law, we found that out in Dillabo and Howard's Principles of Business Law. You can just, synonymous with law is order, order and law, law and order. The most common technique used to impose some order or structure on the confusing world of case law is case briefing. All right? Briefing cases. Case briefing. And here the author says, don't confuse the word brief in this context, in which it means a summary of the key elements of a case with the written arguments an attorney presents to a court, which is also called a brief. All right? So they not only obfuscate, but then they have multiple meanings of the same words. It's extremely common for law students to brief cases so the in the event they are called upon to discuss a case, they will have a convenient summary to use. Practicing attorneys often desire to have cases briefed so they may save time by reading the brief and then, based upon the initial reading, analyze only the selected cases in full. Perhaps the primary reason for briefing cases, however, is to learn how to focus the important parts of the case, focus on the important parts of the case in order to obtain a thorough understanding of the case and its reasoning. So a little bit of study on briefing and how to brief a case would be useful for us as researchers. That's why I'm bringing it out. Briefing a case, now listen, will force you to slow down and concentrate on the critical aspects of the case. After you have mastered case briefing and thus trained yourself to properly analyze cases, you will likely be able to dispense with the written brief and will be able to brief cases by merely underlining or highlighting the key portions of the cases, which is not something easily done on the internet, which is why I like to have things in a hard copy. And then it continues. Now, we don't have time for all in-depth of this, but I'll just give you the common elements. The common elements to be included in a case brief, right? Now, think of this if you're going to become vocal local and you're going to go to a school board meeting and you're going to bring something out in your 2 minutes or 5 minutes or however many minutes you're allowed to speak. Some of this could be very useful for us as well in that instance. Here's the summary. It's a summary of the key elements of a case. They almost always follow the same routine. First of all, it's the name of the case. So state your business. Right? Citations. All parallel citations should be included, as well as the date of the decision. Now, we don't know about that yet, but we'll come back. Citations. In other words, who are your authorities? The name. You state your business. Who are your authorities? And then you give a procedural history. This is a brief summary of the holdings of any previous courts and the dispositions of the case by the court. A procedural history describes how the case got to this court and how this court resolved the case. So you can go back and you look in history and you find out all of the various cases. And you show, well, how did that case ever get to a specific court? And then how was it resolved by that court? Procedural history. And then a statement of facts. A case brief should include a concise summary of the facts of the case. You need not include all of the facts, but rather only the significant facts relied on by courts in reaching its decision. Only the pertinent stuff. You don't have to give everything. You don't have to come in with a boatload. Issue. You must formulate the question or questions or the issue or issues being decided by this court. In some instances, courts will specifically state the issues being addressed. In other instances, the issues are not expressly provided, and you'll have to formulate the issue being decided. So again, we're reviewing law that we find, case law, in any of the variety of sources, the digest, the registers, etc. And we're briefing them, looking at them. It's like you were going to sit down and write a blog article about something. You could follow this process. 6. Answers. Provide an answer or answers to the question or questions being resolved by this court. Rather than merely stating yes or no, phrase the answer in a complete sentence and incorporate some of the reasons for the answer. Number 7. Reasoning. The reasoning is the most important part of a brief. This is the section in which you discuss why the court reached the conclusions that it did. All of these skills, all of this idea, all of this is the language of law that we're studying. It's a foreign language to most of us. And we're learning something about how the process actually works, and then what can we take from it, and what can we use on our own. Again, reasoning. The reasoning is the most important part of a brief. This is the section in which you discuss why the court reached the conclusion it did. Fully discuss the reasons why the court reached its decision and the process by which it arrived at this decision. And then finally, the holding. Include the actual disposition of the case, such as it was affirmed or it was reversed. Okay? And so all of this stuff works together to help us, number one, look at these various and sundry cases, but it also helps us to focus our thinking and focus our thoughts. Of course, this is a textbook, and at the end of each chapter, they give exercises, just like you would in any textbook that you ever had. And there are increasingly difficult questions being asked of the student studying this as we proceed through this textbook. But even when we go back to something simple like the Kansas 8th Readers, which I have, and the McGuffey Readers, but the Kansas 8th Readers particularly, the depth of questioning that was happening even in primary school is so far much and beyond even these in this college textbook that it's amazing to me the transformation that has happened in education. If we can find, you know, like they say, you know, finding the solution is 90% relies on asking the right question. If we can train ourselves to be deeper thinkers and better reasoners and employ logic in discussion, bringing in all of the possible mental tools that we've come across in our past, if we can bring more to the table, perhaps we could be less often led astray by the various winds of doctrine that we get from the internet regurgitorium, you know, the newsy news that we try and bring out on a daily basis. Maybe we could look inside these articles and see the reason behind the reason and the issues behind the issues, and then follow out the various tracks and trails and come to a better understanding. But certainly, as we look forward to a time of greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control, perhaps we could, with a more piercing light, look at all of the things that have led us up to this time period and see where the errors were made and see what was good to keep and what was to throw away. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening and good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film
that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.